everyone. Welcome to episode 58 of the Generic Gaming Podcast.mp3, the podcast where we talk about a new video game every single week. My name is Logan Myrie, and as always, I'm joined by my esteemed co-host and sound engineer, Eric Krause.
Top of the morning to you.
You didn't really do like an accent, so it's kind of sounded weird.
Sorry, but I feel like just you not only... stereotyping over here.
I know, but I just feel like you only ever hear that with like the Irish.
Top of the morning to
you. Yeah, yeah. I was going to do it, but I'm really not very good at voices. Yeah. So I'm glad you gave everyone the example.
Yeah, you really should start getting good at voices. You know, you're going to have to be a voice actor pretty soon.
No.
I guess you just do your normal voice for that.
Yeah, so. I don't really have a lot of parts in this.
Well, you have a huge part now.
Yeah. Well, yeah, that's just my normal voice. For context, everyone, we are working on a radio play, and we have been for about a year and a half now. Is that right? Something like that. It's been a long time. And so, you know, stay tuned for that.
Yeah, we'll be sure to plug it plenty, because we've been... This is a lot of work. It's only gonna be more work.
It was yesterday was the first time where I was like, oh shit, we really like pumped that out, huh? We wrote for like 4.5 hours on this thing.
Yeah.
We finally like finished this one episode. It was really cool.
Yeah. Well, we needed to because it's harder for us to meet now, so
yeah.
We need to just start pumping episodes out so we can actually get to the process of making them.
Yeah, to recording and stuff.
Yeah.
Everyone, before we start the show, please, if you enjoy the show, if you've ever enjoyed this show, or you think maybe one day you'll enjoy this show, go give us a rating on iTunes and tell us how much you love us. Or you can go follow us on twitch.tv/, goddammit, Late for Embargo. I was like, what is it? twitch.tv/Late for Embargo, where you can catch this podcast early as we record it live during the week, or we will be there for you on Thursday at 10 a.m. on any podcast services you like. Eric, what have you been playing?
I've been just plugging away, chugging away at a game called Death Stranding.
Yes, me as well, except for the chugging away part. I haven't played a whole lot since last week. It's been a busy school week and such. But I'm curious to know some more of your thoughts. Because I heard you, you know, I came home. I'm like, Eric, everyone's talking about Fallen Order, dude. Yeah. I'm having FOMO so bad. I'm like ready to be almost done with this game, maybe, which is bad. It's just on me. It's not like that the game's bad. I was just like, oh no, everyone's talking about the new thing.
Yeah.
And you seemed like you were kind of similar. Like you were like, oh my God, dude, I played forever. I didn't even get through chapter 3. Like I have no, like this game is kind of killing me inside. So I would like to, and now you seem to be changing your tune.
Yeah, so, but before I get into all that, you did do the theme song.
Oh, yeah. Bum-bum-bum-bum-bum-bum-bum-bum. Bum-bum-bum-bum-bum. Game of the show. The show's a comedy, guys.
Yeah. Oh, well. But anyway, yeah, so Tuesday, I think. It was a Monday. So we had this whole plan to record, do Test Stranding in two parts so we could get through it as much as possible. And so we usually record on Mondays, but instead we record on Wednesdays just to give us that full week. And I ended up not being able to play that weekend very much. And so I just sat down on Monday. I had a bunch of free time. So I'm like, I am going to just beat this game. Just gung-ho. Just seeing the silver lining on the horizon. I don't know what to say.
Just power through it.
Yeah, just power through it and get through it and be done. Because I also wanted to just play Star Wars, because seeing all the GIFs online, just it looked real cool. And so I'm like, let's get this game out of the way that I wanted to see the end of. And that mentality, along with the length of Chapter 3, just destroyed me on Monday. So you came home, I was probably already 2 hours into playing Chapter 3. I was having a good time, just walking around, enjoying the scenery. Then you left. I took about two-hour break because I had to go to a meeting for our school newspaper that I work at. And so I came back from that and just sat down and played till like 1 a.m. and got like just played a ton. And by the time I hit 1 a.m., I was just flabbergasted because I still hadn't beat Chapter 3. It took me all day to play Chapter 3 on Monday. And let me tell you, the longer I played, the more upset I got that I was still on Chapter 3, because it felt like I was making zero progress that whole time. And especially, It'll be light spoilers for chapter 3, so you're gonna get kind
of we're doing a kind of a whole spoiler up till then kind of thing.
Okay, up to where I'm at or up to where you're at though?
Up to where I'm at. We're not gonna spoil
We did that last week. I'm gonna spoil very minor. It's not like a huge plot thing. It's just this delivery quest that's in chapter 3 that is necessary to do to progress the story, but it's not necessary like to the story, right? Because you have to... Anyway, the whole point of Chapter 3 is connecting all these smaller groups to the chiral network so that you can get the whole region to the chiral network. Because the cities... Yeah, this is up to Chapter 3. Because the cities were nuked and by terrorist attack. And so they've all... It's all just disbanded into these tiny settlements. And so you have to put all the settlements on the chiral network and convince them to join... So that you can get the whole region back online as a whole. And so later in chapter 3, there's this dude called the Junk Man or the Junk Dude, the Junk Guy. I don't know. He likes junk.
Junk Man.
And he's just a dick. He's a huge dickhead the whole time from when you meet him. And he's like, oh, they killed my daughter, the terrorist attack, and it's Fragile's fault, and it's the Bridge's fault because they just pissed everyone off. And then you're like, whatever, it's not really our fault. Join the Chiral Network. And then, so you end up having to, turns out his daughter's alive, and you have to find his daughter. So this is where it got really confused, because I was very tired at this point. The whole time I thought it was his daughter, turns out not his daughter, was actually his wife, or his girlfriend. It was his girlfriend.
But he kept saying it was his daughter?
No, I just thought it was his daughter.
Okay.
And so it really just, it was a complete mistake on my end. I just assumed it was his daughter for some reason. And so when, because you end up having to bring his daughter, not his daughter, his girlfriend to him. And then she asked him to marry him. I was like, what? And I'm like, oh, not your daughter.
Okay.
And so you do all this, and that convinces him to join the thing. But, like I said, he's a dickhead this whole time. And then, so I hated doing anything for him. And then, last night, I'm going, you know how you get those emails?
Yeah.
And I was walking to my next delivery stop, and an email pops up on the side and says, it says marriage sucks. And I was like, I don't usually check the emails. But this one I saw, I'm like, this motherfucker.
You went through all this?
I clicked open. I read that email. He's like, man, this was a mistake. Commitment is committed to someone, like having to deal with it. She's always on my back and stuff. I'm like, I was like ready to turn around, walk the 800 miles back to this motherfucker's place and just fucking, I wish Norman Reedus talked because I would have let him have it. Because man, I hated doing everything for this dude because he was so out of the way. He was through you had to go through two BT areas and a mule camp for this motherfucker.
Oh no.
And I'm like, you ungrateful son of a bitch.
Damn, like you owe me for, like,
yeah, you owe me. And you had to carry this chick through a BT area. Dumb. Just dumb.
So when you get that, I'm not to that part, but I'm assuming that's coming up. Do you do the thing where she's like in a body bag or something?
In a body bag, and then she's on your back, and you carry her through. She has just a face opening, and she's not like the mother one where it's completely zipped up.
Oh, okay.
But she'll have like a face opening.
Okay.
Yeah, I was worried it was going to be, she was following you, and then you had to carry her through. Because that would have sucked. Like, because you have to go through a BT area with her. But luckily on the way back, it's all downhill. So I just straight ran. Like, couldn't catch me because you have all the momentum. And then with the suit upgrade, you could run for longer, you know? So yeah, that was nice. I just fucking booked it. But that's that. Anyway, once I finally got through chapter 3, it was like a weight had been lifted, right? Because... Got back into a cutscene. I felt like the game mattered again. You're getting a lot of story filled in, like what's happening. You get a scene with Fragile and stuff. It explains a whole lot. And then you go into chapter 4, which chapter 4 was sick.
Really?
Yeah. It had some problems, which I'm going to get into here. So the biggest thing I don't like of doing in Death Stranding is fighting anything.
Okay.
I don't like fighting the mules. I don't like fighting BTs. I don't even like stealthing through BT areas. The thing I like about Death Stranding is when you're completely by yourself, you have an absurd amount of shit on your back, and you're just walking looking at the game. That's what, and then I like the cutscenes. And so that's what I wish this game was all the time, because I feel the combat is just, it's not tight enough.
Okay.
It's not to where, it's not to say it's bad, it's just not good.
Okay.
Like, I want it to be so much tighter than it is. And so in Chapter 4, there's a lot of shooting that you need to do, way more than any other part. Like, if you have, like, the Bola gun, you could shoot that, right? Which, pro tip, if the mules are in any type of water and you shoot it with the Bola gun, they just instant knock out.
Oh, yeah.
Because they drowned, I guess. But not drowned. And so... yeah, shooting is just because, like, the camera is super loose, right? Like, there's something weird about the camera in this game. I don't know if you've
noticed that. I haven't
noticed
anything weird.
It's like, it's not, like, super tight. It had, because even if you go into, like, the camera settings in the thing, it operates on stick dead zone instead of camera sensitivity. So it's just the dead zone of the controller is of, like, the analog stick of where until it hits this point in the stick that it will actually start moving the camera.
Oh, okay.
So it's just kind of a weird way to do it. And so it's just super kind of uncomfortable. And also, like, the reticle is what I'm trying to think of. Of where you're aiming is, it's just super wide for, like, every weapon or every kind of thing. And so it's hard to tell where you're aiming. And also, when you have just a pile of shit on your back, and this is a third-person shooter, and you are aiming over the shoulder,
it is
impossible to see where anything is.
That makes sense. Yeah. Okay.
And so in Chapter 4, that was my biggest problem. I won't get into why. But it was just a super claustrophobic area, and you had to be shooting, and I couldn't see where any of the enemies were, dude. And not like there's a mini map to show you. You only have your little BT dude kind of goes off to help, like, detect, and you can, like, scan, you know. How you could do for the mules, you could scan to see where they are. And so, like, that was, like, I was just constantly spamming it to try and see where the enemies were. But anyway, everything other than having to deal with the combat was super cool. And so, Chapter 4 was a crisp 30 minutes. And you were, like, you were in and out. You got story details. You got more on a lingering plot that's been going on for a while in the game up to this point. And then you're pulled out, and then you're on moving to now Chapter 5, which I think Chapter 5, which I'm hoping to God, is going to just be a way shorter version of Chapter 3. Because I'm back to walking and stuff. But you get to meet a character in Chapter 5, which explores more of that, which they're really interesting. And so I'm back in. I'm hoping I can beat this game. I'll probably play more tonight after I get done with work, since I get done early tonight. And then I will probably play more this weekend. And I'm hoping I can beat it this weekend and just be done before Thanksgiving. Not have to worry about it. And I can play Star Wars when I come back.
Yeah, I didn't play it all last night. We got done writing, and I was like, fuck, I'm tired. And so I had some homework to do, and I went and watched The Office and did some homework.
Yeah.
And so that's cool. I'm planning to play more tomorrow on Thursday when I get back here, because we are not streaming. We're doing a stream on Saturday.
Yeah.
And so I wanted Eric to just kind of run through what we've seen so far in the plot and just kind of talk about it.
Okay.
And because I, you know, there are a couple big points that I'm like, we didn't talk about last week, and I'm excited to talk about that opening
of the
game.
Chapter 3?
No, of the game.
Oh, okay.
I want to, like, go, like, kind of beat.
Okay, from the beginning. Okay, yeah.
So from the beginning, right? Norman Reedus is on the fucking bike. He's got all of his gear. Mm-hmm. He's going, and, you know, we see, like, the handprint smush, like, and you're like, oh, fuck, what is that?
Yeah.
And you know, he seems stressed out about it. He's like, oh, shit, there's this big jump. And he's like, oh, no, I got to make the jump, right? So he goes and he makes the jump, and it's super cool. And so you're like, oh, he evaded whatever the fuck the ghost thing was. And then you're going and you see a woman, and you just fucking smash your bike into her.
Yeah.
And he freaks out and crashes the bike, and all your shit's lost. And that is, you know, the start of, like, you get control, right?
Yeah.
And, you know, you go, you pick up all your stuff, you go hide in a cave, you meet Fragile. Fragile's weird. She's eating the bugs. She's, you know, talking about dooms.
Yeah.
You guys run into some BTs or whatever. You're sitting there, the fucking handprints do the do the thing. They're going all super near you. You think they would catch you, but they don't.
Yeah.
And then, you know, you get control back. You head to Capital Knot City. Yeah.
Yep.
So how are you feeling up to this point?
So at this point of the game, man, I was bright eyed, bushy tailed. Like, yeah. It's a sick opening, and it just basically drops you. What I love about this game is its story has always been something of like, what the fuck's going on?
Uh-huh.
And I think even with the opening, you're still like, I still don't know what's going on. And so that's what's keeping me such wired into the story and want to see, because I want to figure out what's going on. And so with this opening, just being dropped in, you're just introduced to this character that you get no details on right away, and she just disappears, and then you literally start what you're going to do the whole game. You go, you pick up your packages, and then you walk.
Uh-huh.
And then you get Loror. Loror starts playing.
Yeah, Loror starts playing. It's great. You know, you head to Capital Knot City. They're like, you gotta, you know, you run into your, like, adopted mom, yeah?
Not yet.
Yeah, Bridget Bridges.
Yeah, but you haven't gotten to meet her yet. They talk to you and they say she wants you to meet her.
Oh, okay. Whatever. You go to Capital Knot City and you know, you do the thing. You go and you meet Bridget Bridges. She's in the hospital.
Yeah.
She's sick. She's your, like, adopted mom, right? They make a point of, like, this is, you know, you remember. Like, this is my question, though. Does Sam not remember? Why are they like, the woman that raised you? Like, what? I know.
I don't know. They do a lot of weird.
Because I was like, does he have, like, fucking amnesia or something? Like,
yeah, because there's parts in the later half of the game where the things they're saying make no sense within the world, too.
Okay, well, anyways, and so he goes and she's like, I need you to connect America. And he's like, no, fuck you. I don't want any part of this. I'm a porter. I just deliver packages.
Yeah.
And she's like, well, fucking deliver the chiral network or whatever. And he's like, no. And she grabs onto him and, like, fucking pulls him off, like, pulls off the hospital bed.
Yeah.
And, like, just dies on top of him.
Yeah.
And I was like, what is happening?
Well, because he has a fear of being touched.
Yeah,
right?
Yeah, yeah.
He has a phobia of that. And so when she touched him or grabbed onto him, he freaked out.
Yeah.
And pulled back, which ripped her out of the bed. Which, you think, more people would have came sooner, you know?
Yeah.
It took a very long time for the doctors to come when she was flatlining.
Yeah, and then it all, like, turns from an office to just a built, like, a weird
room.
Yeah,
it was all just holograms.
Yeah, it was all just holograms. And you meet, you know, you're talking to Die Hard Man, and he's like, you gotta do this, blah blah blah. And then you have to take her. I thought the part where, you know, she's dead, he's like, you need to get her to the incinerator because you know what's gonna happen, right?
Yeah.
Oh, camera is off. Hopefully we still have audio.
Yeah, audio's still good if you want to keep going. Keep plot summary.
Did I skip the first BT run in?
No, that's when at the incinerator.
Oh, okay, yeah. So you go through to the incinerator, it's super cool. You have her just, like, on your back, and I was like, oh shit, this is, like, kind of impactful, right? Like, you have, like, your mom on your back and you're going to the incinerator to burn her up, and you do, and then you run into the, you know, you're getting out of there, the BTs show up. And so this is the, you know, you're getting introduced to the stealth portions of the game.
Well, some people are.
Yeah, so unless you're Eric and you just book through because you have no idea what's happening. And you know, I did it the right way. You crouch.
I don't think there's a right way or wrong way.
and you know, you go through, you go back to fucking Capital Knot City. I think maybe there's some deliveries in between there. This is the point, right, where I feel like we already missed the part where you're going back to the incinerator, like another incinerator. With,
you only go to the incinerator once.
Well, I'm thinking of with the body disposal guy that dies and gives you the BT and shit.
Oh yeah, we did miss that.
Oh, we did.
That's
miss
all
that.
Before the first time you get to Capital Knot. So after you meet Fragile and then you walk down to Capital Knot, you run into those guys right away. You drop off your packages and you walk out and the just corpse disposal people come out.
Yeah, and they want your help.
And so you go and deliver this. There's a person that killed themselves, causing a void out. And so you have to get them out and get them to a crater so that they don't cause any damage to the city, right? Oh, this isn't even Capital Knot City. This is the city before it. And so,
oh, okay, I get what you're saying.
Yeah, you have to get through. Get into a run-in with the BTs. These other two dudes end up getting caught and dying, and then you all get stuck. And then
they give you the BB.
The guy gives you BB 28, And then the body finally causes a void out. You get caught in the blast, but you are a remnant, was it?
Like a revenant
or something like that. Something with an R. And so you're able to die and go to the beach, but come back to the world of the living. And this just destroyed the whole city. And then this is when you wake up in a bed in Capital Knot City. And then that's when you go and meet Bridget.
Yeah, you meet Bridget. She dies. You take her to the incinerator.
Yeah.
And, you know, you're running with the BTs.
Yeah.
And then you go back to Capital Knot, right? And you're like, okay, cool, I did it. And they're like, you have to, you know, connect the Cairo network. And you're like, all right, fucking sure. All right, I'll do it.
Because it's very easy to convince people in this game. Yeah. Literally, they just have to talk and Norman Reedus has to stare at them.
Yeah, oh my God, Eric, I love it so much. When you go into the place, the guy's like, I don't want to be part of your fucking Cairo network. And then he just kind of talks himself into it.
Yeah.
Yeah, okay, so you go, and you know, you take it from here. What happens after this, Eric?
So after you agree to this, you have to start connecting everyone online, so you end up taking some packages to drop off, and we're gonna start speeding up a little bit here. So you drop it off, you're now having to stop at all these individual camps and settlements to connect them. And so I think in the first chapter, there's like three little settlements, and then you have to have a distribution center that you have to connect. And so you go through all that, you go through some mule camps, connect them, delivering packages back and forth the whole time. And then, you head to chapter two, where you have to deliver I think this is where you deliver the egg and semen samples, right?
Yeah. Stuff like that.
I forgot what the city's called. Because there's too many cities and they all have to do a string.
The one at the end of chapter two is Lake Knot City.
Lake Knot, that's what it is. Yeah.
Or Port Knot, and then the other one's Lake Knot. Port Knot City.
Anyway, it's some kind of Knot City. And so you have to go through this horrible BT section, like that's up through a mountain. And then once you get over that mountain, you get to walk down the mountain to some lower R and come across the city.
That was one of my favorite moments in this game is you get through that horrible, awful BT section. There's so many of them, dude. I was like, I do not know how I'm gonna get through this. And you get over that mountain, and it's like this huge valley that you can see, and you can see the water and like the city, and it's, oh my God, dude, it's so cool.
Yeah. And so once you get to the city, Lake Knot or Port Knot, whatever you want to figure out is, that ends chapter two, and so begins chapter three with a sick ass cutscene.
Yeah, well, I wanted to talk about we've gotten to the big boss, the first big boss fight.
Yeah, so the cutscene happens first, and then the boss fight.
Yeah, okay, and then the boss fight.
Yeah, so cutscene happens. So we've had a little bit of Troy Baker, right?
No. We haven't heard from him.
He hasn't shown up at all yet?
Nope. This is the first. Well, I don't know if we've seen him.
You've seen him in the mask. So if you didn't know it's Troy Baker that when you fought him the first time, then here's where you figure it out. It's Troy Baker.
Yeah. You've never fought.
You haven't fought him. You just seen him. He just showed up at the void out situation.
Yeah. You just see him.
Yeah. And so this is where you get your basically introduction to Higgs.
And he's super awesome. Yeah. So he's scary and just really menacing.
Yeah, and Troy Baker, phenomenal actor as always. And turns out he just is basically the master of BTs.
Yeah, he's
and
a homo demon.
Yeah, he could control them, make it rain, all that kind of stuff. And so he just summons this giant whale-ish.
How cool. So you get to see now what the BTs look like.
Yeah.
And he does that awesome thing where his fucking fingers turn into ropes, and he puts him down in the water and pulls, and you see these ropes and it's going through the water and it just pulls out a massive fucking whale blob.
Yeah.
It's like a whale covered in just tentacles.
And ink and tentacles. Yeah.
Yeah. It's super, super fuck. I was like, what's going to happen? Oh my God, am I going to have to fight this thing? Because we've established that Norman Reedus is poop and pee and bodily fluids
and blood
and blood
and sweat
and sweat and tears will harm the BTs.
Yeah,
they don't like it because he's a fucking whatever.
Yeah, so you use piss and shit grenades to take down this BT that Higgs summoned. How'd you like that situation?
I thought this boss fight was really cool. I really liked it. it was like, I was like, oh shit, I'm running away from it. You know, you're climbing on top of structures. You're, you know, you're dropping gear. You have to go like pick up the grenades and fucking throw them. And, yeah. And the, you know, the BT freaks out. And I thought this was super cool. I was like, oh shit, like this is dope. I didn't realize this was now going to be kind of like a recurring fight that you will be doing. Like with like the, you know, cause now anytime you get dragged down by a BT.
If you get caught. Yeah.
If you get caught.
Yeah. Cause you can get caught by the BTs and then manage to escape. But if you get like dragged, because when they catch you, I don't, because you haven't been caught that much, right?
Oh no, I've never been caught.
Yeah, when they catch you, the like a bunch of these like Tari dudes like just start grabbing at you, and you can mash square or X to like struggle to get out of it.
Yeah.
So if you manage to stay standing and not get pulled down, you could still run and get out of it.
Yeah, but it's really easy too.
Yeah, when you get pulled down, that's when it begins the encounter where you have to now fight. One of these kind of things.
Yeah, and so I mean, after that fight, I was like, okay, that's cool. I mean, I don't want to do that. Like, I feel like I would never want to go do that.
Yeah, I this is where I don't enjoy combat in this game. Also, during this encounter, I was kind of intoxicated, so I don't remember it all too well.
Oh, okay.
But like, I remember like just thinking it was fine because all you do is throw grenades at it, and then it goes down pretty quick, you know. Because combat in this game's entirely too easy all the time, and then it's still clunky, whole thing. But yeah,
and so yeah, you defeat it, stops raining or whatever. You and Fragile get on a boat.
Yep.
And you're going to Port Knot or Lake Knot City. Yeah. I think the first one is Port Knot City. You go to Lake Knot City.
Maybe.
I think
or
that's
the
what,
other way.
Right? I think it's. I know. I think it's that way.
Okay.
And you get there and you're in this new area, right? Mm-hmm. And this is the part of the game where I started to enjoy the act of just like walking around and stuff more, because there's like, I don't know, you just have like more options. You know, you have the fucking trike now.
And, yeah, you get vehicles now. And in this area, there's now the ability to build roads. It just takes the most amount of resources ever.
Yeah. Dude, how fucking cool though. I went through and got all the prepper guys, and then I come back and I build the first road, and I'm gonna go make that long delivery, right? It's the one to connect like whatever the next kind of city is. Mm-hmm. And I just took the road like almost all the way there.
Yeah, it's so nice. So the cool thing about Death Stranding is that other people like can contribute to structures being built and can contribute.
The coolest thing about Death Stranding, I'd say.
Probably. And so since the roads take a ton of resources, just everyone kind of contributes to them. So like one time you'll be walking through and then kind of leave the area for a while and come back, and like there a whole new section of the road can be finished because other people just contributed to it, which is like super nice.
Mm-hmm.
So like I had just there's a massive ton of road in my game just built because other people just contributed to it, which was super sick.
Oh yeah. And so this is kind of the point where I'm at. I got to the weather station. So, you know, I've gone through and they're like, okay, go connect the weather station or whatever. Mm-hmm. And you kind of start to see the snow on like the peaks, and you're going kind of that way and you connect the weather station. Yeah. That's where I stopped.
The weather station, one of my least favorite places to walk to.
Really? Yeah. I didn't find it. I don't remember it being too much of a pain.
There's just a large BT area and the terrain is absolutely awful. And at this point I'm just so used to driving trucks and you can't take any vehicles up through that area. Cause like the weird volcanic rock that's like at the bottom near the water where it's super jagged and stuff. Which is just even annoying to walk through because you have to just climb over everything.
Yep.
So weather station, I just least favorite area.
Okay. And so after the weather station, I remember getting the pop that like, oh, I've got a floating carrier.
Yep.
A shelter. Have you been using this stuff a lot?
I use other people's shelters. I haven't actually built one. It was actually fun because you have to go and build a shelter. Like there's like a thing, tutorial kind of thing. As kind of this thing, because I've been just standing and listening to everyone talk, right?
Yeah.
Die Hardman comes in and he's giving you this whole thing about, oh, you built a shelter and you could be the first one to stay. And I just started walking and he's like, oh, okay.
Really?
Like, yeah, he cuts himself off because like I didn't need a rest. So I'm like, I'm not going to stay in it. So I just kept walking and he's like, oh, okay. And he stopped talking.
Oh,
like,
that's cool.
That's funny. That's funny. Really cool.
He's like, oh, fuck you, Die Hard Man.
Yeah,
like,
I don't need to stay in it. And then you get this floating carrier thing that allows you to carry more packages and stuff like that. And you could also skateboard on it. So when you're going downhill, you could just skateboard, which is pretty sick.
That is cool. Have you been doing that?
Yeah, when I have a clean downhill to go down to, because if you crash, you just take damage and lose all your stuff, and you have to go pick it up.
That's annoying. But you can't. But you can just put stuff on it too to like carry next to you.
Yeah, but if you want a skateboard on it, there can't be anything on it.
Yeah, that makes sense.
But yeah, it's like attached to a rope on you, and you can just walk. And as long as like the physics makes sense, the cord won't detach from you.
Oh, okay.
So like if you walk off a cliff or like climb down a rope, I was like, I wonder what will happen, because there's like a rope and I was climbing down a cliff, and so I started climbing down the rope and then it pulls over the cliff and then it just drops and the cord snaps.
Oh, that's
and
annoying.
So like if it was like a longer cliff, I'm sure my shit would have went everywhere. Mm-hmm. But it was only like a 10-foot cliff area. So.
Okay, well that sucks.
Mm-hmm.
And so this is the point where I have stopped.
Yeah.
How does the plot it thickens from here? It's getting more interesting at the end of chapter 3 now, you're saying?
At the end, so you have about 6 more hours from where you're at till the end of chapter 3.
Dear God.
Chapter 3 will just be more of the same of delivering packages and connecting people to the chiral network. So that's pretty much the rest of chapter 3. And then at the end of chapter 3, you get a cutscene. Well, you get this one mission. You'll know the last mission of chapter 3 because it's a pretty big one and pretty obvious. And then stuff kicks off and you kind of faster pace.
Okay.
And I'm hoping chapter 3 is the longest chapter.
Okay. I think it is.
Yeah.
Have you gotten to a new area yet?
No. So I'm currently walking to a new area right now.
Okay.
So that is where I will be in like the beginning of chapter 5.
Yeah, because we're getting like west here at this point.
Yeah, so at the end of chapter 3 you pretty much connect Texas area.
Oh, okay, so you're going south and then
yeah,
you have to
because
to...
you connect south, not city. That's the ultimate goal at the
okay.
end of chapter 3.
Okay.
And that's basically Texas area.
Yeah, and we're working our way till Edge Not City, which is like the isolationist homo demon area, and they've
in
got
California.
Emily.
Yeah,
so I'm curious, have you learned more about Amelie, or how do you say her? Is that how you say it?
Amelie,
yeah. Because I'm like, why doesn't she age? What's the deal?
Because her body. So you learn about this.
Because her body's on
the beach.
Her soul or whatever is on the beach, and her body's in Edge Not City. And
yeah.
Whatever.
Yeah. And that's why she doesn't age.
Yeah.
But it's she also looks very much like Bridget, and I don't get what the connection is there.
Well, because she's Bridget's daughter.
Yeah, but I don't get the connection between her and Sam yet either.
That's they're like adoptive siblings, I guess.
Yeah, but they also seem like they're kind of in love.
Yeah, it's kind of odd, right? Yeah. Maybe some Freudian stuff going on there. I don't know.
Yeah, well, they're adopted.
All right. I'm just saying, it's always oddly sexual.
Yeah, it's always, there is a weird, oddly sexual part too in this game, but I think that's just like Kojima always has weirdly sexual themes, right?
Yeah, man. Games. I don't know. It always just seems weird when it happens.
Yeah, I don't know. It's just it is what it is.
Eric, so you're back in on Death Stranding. I'm excited to get back in on Death Stranding.
Mm-hmm.
Do you have any parting thoughts? Do you have any wisdom for me as I go along this journey?
I just mainline the rest of chapter 3. I wouldn't even bother delivering. I deliver extra packages if it's where you're going, but like, don't go out of your way to go somewhere else.
Yeah, I did a few like extra side stuff in chapter 3, and I thought it was cool. I got an upgrade to like my
your power armor.
Yeah, my power armor, which was like nice.
Yeah, because you can carry more and you stay balanced more.
That's cool. I do just want to take this last kind of portion to just kind of bitch about the mules and how much I hate doing this mule sections.
Oh, you're in for a treat then, because literally the worst mule section ever is in where you're having to go after the weather station.
And like, I know you said, you know, you get like the shoulder check thing or whatever, where like now I can use my little scan to like
counter their scan. I haven't been able to do it successfully once though, so
okay,
because you get an upgrade to your scanner where if you hit your scanner button the same time it scans you, it'll cancel the scans out, and so they won't notice you're in the area.
Yeah, but it does, like, it takes like a second to do that, get that scan going. So like,
and then it's impossible.
Do you have to know it's coming?
It's not like there's a noise or notification that their scan's scanning you, and also they have just a scanner literally every 5 meters, and it's ridiculous.
Yeah,
and like, they're impossible to get by, and so
you just end up having to like fucking punch them.
Yeah, so in chapter 3, there's an entire large section of the map I never go through because it's a mule area.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like in this, there's like crevice that goes like completely around it. And let me tell you, the beginning of the game where he jumps that thing, completely unrealistic. It's impossible to jump any kind of gap in this game. Because, first of all, the motorcycle over any type of terrain that isn't smooth and flat, awful. Literally, I'd steal a mule truck as soon as you can, dude.
Okay. Because
mule trucks, they can go over literally anything. I was fucking taking those through the rockiest terrains, just driving them straight over cliffs. Like, they can go through anything. You could drive them up like an 85 degree incline. It takes a little bit, but they make it. And yeah, but the motorcycle, I was getting so fucking frustrated because a little fucking pebble stops you. It's like, can't. And like it was terrible. That noise in your headphones right now was awful. That's what the driving this motorcycle through is.
Okay.
And so yeah, there's like you have to do a time mission to get to this other area that's across from this mule camp. And I'm like, sweet, if I just get enough speed, I could jump over this like 2-foot crevice and keep going, and then the mules won't be able to catch me because I'm on a bike. But nope, you just go, and then just 90 degrees down into this crevice.
Oh, okay.
And then, lo and behold, they also have sensors in this crevice. Like, why? Why are there sensors down here? And then it took me forever to find out where this crevice was. This is the first time I was going through to try and get through it. And I end up getting stuck in this crevice, and then I get out, and I'm like, fuck it. I'm just fighting all these motherfuckers. I'm going to kill them all. They're all going to be knocked out. They ended up just bringing a truck, and they just straight plowed through me in their truck, and that knocked me out. First time I got knocked out in the game. So when you get knocked out by mules, they just steal all your stuff and leave you for dead.
Really?
Yeah. And so since I had the package that I needed, once I woke up, you need to go back and infiltrate their camp and get your stuff back. But
this is timed, right?
But it was timed, and I don't know if I read it right. I don't know if I was knocked out for 35 minutes and like it deterred me for 35 minutes in the thing, or if I had 35 minutes remaining. Either way, I was like, fuck this, and I just loaded my save back up from the distribution camp.
Okay, that makes
distribution
sense.
Center. And then I just went all the way around it. So I'm like, I hate this. This was middle-ish of chapter 3, where I was just so fucking done with the game that I was literally screaming at the TV.
Oh, no.
I was like, because I was just so annoyed trying to get through this area. Because this is the point of the game where it's not tight enough where it's doing exactly what I want, right? And like, with combat, like, you could hit square and stuff, and then, like, he'll just end up punching not at the person. Like, there's no lock-on system to fight a certain person.
Yeah.
And, like, you could Captain America a package at someone and knock them out instantly. But, like, I was chucking. Like, I wonder if it was different at the beginning of the game, made it easier. Because in the beginning of the game, I was Captain America packages of people's heads, like, no problem. Like, every package I threw, knock a dude out. In this game, I'm yeeting them over their heads. Like, I'm yeeting them, like, 500 feet. And then I'm running over packages and hitting R2 and he's not picking them up and stuff. And I'm like, God, just do what I want so I could fight these people.
Okay, yeah.
Because they have so much of an advantage over you because they have these long javelin spears.
Yeah,
things.
And they're all like, they all fucking did track and field in high school.
Yeah,
and
they
great
can
aim.
Fucking book it. Yeah.
Those things like 400 meters or something and just hit you instantly.
Yeah, and then the electric current like sparks out from them. And there's no dodge button or anything in this game. You're just kind of running in serpentine to try and avoid these.
Yeah, I hate the mules. Yeah. It's my least favorite part of the game.
Yeah,
so
me
far,
too.
And I hope that they just go away.
Yeah. But I mean, even at this point, I don't like going through BT sections. Like, last night, I was driving my truck, and there's a BT section. I'm like, nah, I'll just go around. And I went around the whole BT section because it was so much easier.
That is fair.
Because, like,
I just like delivering the packages. I just want to see the scenery, and I just want to go through
the
terrain.
And get the cutscenes. That's all I want in this game. And, because everything else in this game is just no point, right? All the small side quest deliveries, there's no real reward. You get some minor upgrades, but honestly, they're not big enough to be worth it. And all the story progression gets you all the equipment you want to use anyway. And so, like, and delivering lost packages, not worth it. Getting materials only kind of worth it to be able to continue to fabricate like vehicles when you lose one and stuff like that. But like, there's just not a whole lot of reason for me to do stuff other than the story missions to progress the story.
Yeah. Part of me just wishes that this game was like, all of it was like the rocky terrain stuff where it's like, oh shit, I gotta figure out how to get up this mountain, man. And
yeah,
like,
it's all I'm just going... terrain, or it's all navigation. Like,
yeah, that like that's sick. My favorite part is like, yeah. is like the challenge comes from like, I have a lot of stuff right now and I really need to.
And how
like,
do I
think
get
about,
through this
yeah.
area?
Yeah, and then you go and you're like, oh man, someone left a rope. Like, God bless them, right? Yeah. You go up and you're like, that helped me so much.
Yeah.
Right? And so I think that's like the most enjoyable part of the game. I like the BT stealth sections. I think those are like they're tense, mm-hmm. and I like doing them. I absolutely hate the mules. I wish I did.
My
not
problem is
them.
That just all the encounters are they're always the same, right? If you just crouch, you walk through, and you hold your breath when you get close to one for the BT section. And so it's like almost like it's not even worth it. There was one BT section I like because there's a part where you have to, when you're convincing the junk dude, you have to go and get a bunch of his stuff for him. And it's in a BT section, right? And so that area I thought was cool because I wasn't just walking through the BT section to get to another endpoint. I had to navigate through it to pick up all this dude's stuff, right?
Yeah, I liked the big crater part where you go get the guy's toolbox.
Yeah.
I thought that area was super cool and like scenic.
I like that kind of stuff. I don't like when I have to, I'm just walking through it, right?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Like my goal is to just get to the other side. Like I don't like that stuff.
Yeah, maybe if there's like a goal. In the
yeah, when you're when there's a reason you're in there, it feels tense because you're like, I can't lose any of this stuff. I can't like I have to get through here without getting caught. Like that feels so much better.
Okay, Eric, do you have any other anything else to say about Death Stranding?
No, I'm hoping to beat it, and then maybe on next week's thought we pot at the beginning of it, we can just finally be done talking about this game.
Okay, I'm excited. Yeah, I'm excited to play more. Eric, I have a little hot topic for you, just real quick. I want to talk about the 6 nominated games for Game of the Year that were announced for the Game Awards this year.
Yeah.
And I just want to talk about whether you think these are the right choices, which one you would vote for. And I guess I want to talk about the way that this process works in general.
Yeah.
So the games are Control, Death Stranding, Resident Evil 2, Sekiro, The Outer Worlds, and Smash Ultimate.
So obviously on that list, my pick's Smash.
It just, it feels weird to me, right? Because I understand the cutoff or whatever is like November, whatever.
Yeah.
Right? And so Smash didn't make it last year because it came out in December. Mm-hmm. So it is now in this year's running.
Yeah.
And it's like, I guess, I don't know. I almost feel like I wouldn't vote for that game because it doesn't feel... like a 20 that's like not a 2019 game to me, right? Like yeah. it almost feels like, okay, like that game had its time, right?
Yeah, but it didn't. It was it because it wasn't
I know,
it didn't
right
have its
but
chance,
it just I don't know
saying.
Why it just feels wrong. It just like I understand it just feels wrong.
Well, that's how award seasons are. They're always not like a literal
yeah I know. I saw Jeff Keighley tweet like,
yeah,
the cutoff for the Grammys or the Emmys or whatever is like in
yeah,
June.
Yeah, because Gary Whitta was upset about Star Wars not being able to. It's like it's in the dead zone where it's not eligible for next year, but it's not also eligible.
Well, it is eligible for this year, but it hasn't like no one really had enough time to sit with it.
Yeah, so it wasn't able to make the list. Yeah, and so it basically getting the short end of the stick. But also award season kind of bullshit anyway, I think.
Really?
Yeah, I don't
enjoy the Game Awards.
I enjoy the Game Awards, and I think it's a good way to celebrate games. I just don't like the whole idea of like kind of we're pitting these games against each other, kind of.
Okay.
And I kind of don't like that whole aspect of it. I wish it was more of a the Game Awards was a celebration of games, and like it did all this stuff like where we go back and we like kind of look back at the year and the game.
Okay.
We loved.
I think that is a lot of it. I think because yeah. I mean, I just think being nominated is cool. And then kind of, you know, the picking one is kind of the very arbitrary part.
Yeah, that's the
but,
very arbitrary
but the way part. I look at it is like what game is most like representative of this year or like yeah. or like, you know, what was the game that kind of captured the audience the most this year, mm-hmm. right? And I guess that's kind of the way I look at it. And so I just thought that this list had some interesting yeah. choices. A lot of people talking shit about Control. I think Control deserves to be on this
Control,
list.
Control, I think, deserves to be on this list too because the game I don't think deserves to be on this list unless it fucking wows me in the next 30 hours is Death Stranding.
Really?
I do not think this is a game of the year contestant.
Really? Yeah. I think that sheerly because of the way that it captivated everyone is enough.
I mean, I guess to be nominated, but I think Death Stranding is going to win a lot of awards it doesn't deserve this year.
Yeah, I could see it. Like, it does feel a little bit like maybe Death Stranding... It kind of does feel like, okay, Death Stranding is going to sweep the awards, huh? And it does, that doesn't feel right to me yet. Like, I'm like, I honestly I think Control was a, like, from what I mean, I played and beat Control. I loved that game. That game was weird. That game was, like, super weird. Yeah. Right? Everyone was talking about weird Death Stranding. His Control was, like, super weird. Yeah. It had all this crazy dimensional shit. The combat was so fucking fun.
Yeah, exactly. And, like, I'm going to go and play Control now, I think. After I beat Star Wars, I think I'm going to jump into Control.
I have a copy just on that you can have. It's a disc, so you can just borrow it.
Yeah, so I'm going to jump in and play Control. And because I think I wish I played Control at launch, but I think, Borderlands was out?
Yeah, Borderlands had come out.
Because I think Such Control cool is the game I wanted Death Stranding to be. It's this tight game. It's 20 hours.
It's less.
It's less than 20 hours. It gives you a super weird and kind of original story, and the combat's tight. Like, that's what I wanted Death Stranding to be.
And I think they've probably worked out a lot of the bugs at this point.
Yeah, I'm sure it's patched.
Yeah, I'm going to say, you should probably play on PC. But
yeah, that's what I was thinking.
My only beef with that game was the frame rate, honestly, and kind of the performance issues.
Yeah.
But, like, man, the story was fantastic. The world was amazing. I loved the facility. Like, the fucking powers and the combat were so good. So I just wanted to defend Control, because I know a lot of people were like, Control has no place on this list.
Yeah.
I think that's fake. I think that's not real. I want to talk about The Outer Worlds as well. That was another one where I was like, The Outer Worlds was a fun game. I liked it a lot. I think it did a lot of interesting things.
You didn't beat it, right?
I did. Yeah, I did beat it. Yes. I liked it. Yeah, I liked it. But I just was like, I just feel like maybe there are other games. Like Three Houses was more of a game of the year 20. Like, it was more of a 2019 game to me than Outer Worlds. You know what I mean?
Okay. Yeah.
Like Fire Emblem felt like it captured everyone, dude. Like, that's what I was saying. Like, that was the one game where I was really surprised that it was omitted from this nominee list.
Yeah.
Because, I mean, I don't know, man. I feel like it got everyone playing a strategy game. Like, when the hell does that happen?
I mean, just looking back at it, it's one of our best podcasts this year, like, numbers-wise.
Yeah, people love Three Houses. I follow a ton of accounts that are, like, still talking about Three Houses and like, posting memes and stuff.
Yeah, I'm surprised that one's not on there either. Obviously,
I'm still working on it, too. I've been plugging away once in a while.
Yeah, which I think is crazy. But, like, obviously, I'm not a fan of, like, JRPGs and, like, long games like that, which is why I'm having such a problem with Death Stranding. But, yeah. I'm surprised that game didn't make it on there, because I felt like people were talking about the game for literally the entire month it was out. Whereas Outer Worlds came and went, you know?
Yeah. And honestly, I think it came and went with sort of lukewarm reception. Like, I don't know. I think a lot of people gave it, you know, sevens and eights and stuff.
Yeah.
But I liked it. I liked it a lot. And I just saw a lot of people saying, like, oh, man, this was a garbage year. And I just don't think that's true. There were so many good games this year, but I just think a lot of them didn't end up on this list.
I'm really surprised Resident Evil didn't make it with how much people were...
No, it is. It's on there.
Oh, is it? Is it on
there? Yeah, Resident Evil 2.
Oh, okay.
I think that one... I know we didn't love that game as much, but that game, like...
People were talking about that game for so long, yeah.
I'm glad Sekiro made it on the list. I understand.
Yeah, I literally forgot until I saw that Sekiro came out this
year. I understand. I didn't beat that game. That game is not for me, I think.
Yeah, not for me either.
But I respect the hell out of that game, dude. It's such a greatly made game.
Yeah.
Like, I think that one's not going to win sheerly because of it's a Souls game and, like, a lot of people don't like them. But damn,
that game is gorgeous. The combat is literally the tightest combat ever.
Yeah, like, it's amazing. It's amazingly, like, precise.
Like, go to r/hitboxporn and that game is, like, all over it.
Yeah, oh my god, when, like, Suni Legend was posting all the gifs and stuff, I'm like, oh, how? It's insane that you can even do this in a video game.
Yeah, it's ridiculous.
So Smash, I think, is, like, the best game out of this list, like, to me at least. I don't know, because we've played Smash, we love Smash.
I've literally played Smash at least once every single month.
Yeah, I mean, we play, like, once a week usually. Yeah. We play Smash all the time. Yeah. But I understand, again, that, like, that's a fighting game. I don't know if that's going to... Because it very much is a continuation of Smash, right? Like, I don't know if it does any
Yeah, from a critical standpoint, it's like I don't think it holds up against like these other things like Control or Death Stranding or Sekiro. But like just the cheer of what it Smash does for like the fighting community, and just I think everyone always plays Smash, right? Like if you go to a party like and people don't play fighting games, they can still pick up a controller and play Smash.
Yeah.
And so I don't know. I think it deserves Game of the Year, just me personally, just because it does so much more than all these other games, I think. And just the sheer amount of characters and the sheer amount of like how balanced it is and what it does for the fighting community. But that's just my personal opinion.
That's fair. I was I feel like normally we get at least one or two like indie darlings, right?
Yeah, we didn't even get our Outer Wilds. Outer Wilds, yes.
Which I think is a fantastic game. I really want to beat it. And I think that game is novel and, like, insane.
And that's another game I feel like I see a lot of people talking about.
Yeah. But... Or, like, Disco Elysium is another one that people have been, like, gushing over.
Yeah. For, yeah, a while. Like, I've been seeing people talk about that since it came out, like, a month ago. And so... I'm surprised that didn't get anything either.
Or I haven't played it yet. I really want to play it before the end of the year, but A Plague Tale: Innocence was another one people are saying is like fantastic.
Yeah.
And so I don't know. It just feels like a weird list to me. I guess that's why I wanted to talk about.
Yeah. I don't know. I think it also just it seems so toned down compared to last year because of the juggernauts we had last year.
Oh yeah,
right?
God of War,
Spider-Man, all that stuff like. It seems, I think, a little toned down. But, like, that's not to say this year was bad gaming. It certainly wasn't. I think just the big AAA releases weren't nearly as good as
Yeah, and I think that's what people mean, right? Because everyone's like, oh, this. I've seen a lot of, you know, comments and stuff saying, like,
this, oh, 2019 sucked. Yeah, it's just, like, literally every year before this has been fucking insane for games.
Yeah,
and this year also fucking insane for games.
I just think it's been insane in a different way.
Yeah, exactly.
Like, we've gotten a lot of, like, really, like, crazy... just weird games and like a lot of really quality stuff that I think falls maybe not in the category of like what we think of as a game of the year, right?
Yeah, exactly. Because like, I mean, if you look back on this year, literally every month except for maybe like April and March, there is like a big release of some kind, either like a big indie release or a triple A game release. And then
we've had plenty to talk about.
Yeah, and then this month we have like four big AAA releases.
Yeah, giant games.
Yeah.
Damn, do you think people would have been just like literally so fucking pissed off if like Pokemon made it on this list or something?
Yeah, I think people would have really been pissed off.
Yeah. I mean, obviously I didn't think it would, but I just was like, "Oh, I wonder how that would have played out."
Yeah, that would have been bad probably.
Yeah, so I just wanted to bring it up. I think that if I was going to cast my vote here, if I'm being real, I would vote for Control.
I'd vote for Smash.
That's fair. Anyways,
just because if I played Control, maybe I'd vote for Control, but I don't know. It's just it's such a stiff competition between Smash and everything else on that list.
All right, everyone, this has been the Generic Gaming Podcast.mp3. Thank you so much for listening. Tune in next week when Eric and I try to catch a Wooloo, because goddamn, those things are cute. Anyways, we love you, unless you suck. And in which case we don't, and you should probably work on that. Have a good one.